Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Hello, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on the network known as Blog Talk Radio. What an exciting night, everybody. I know we have listeners from around the world because this is so exciting. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member, 60s supergroup The Kinks, Dave Davies will be joining us from London, England in just a few moments. Very exciting night. Manning the controls and making it possible for us to reach London, England, Melissa Hovey and Wayne Larson. And as always, manning the Wild World News, the honorable and somewhat distinguished Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Oh, why, thank you, Mr. Batson. Good evening.
We want to tell everyone that the Wild World News is underwritten by Jet Kaiser Films. If you're in the middle of planning a documentary or some type of film work, this is the man you need to talk to. His website, jetkaiser.com, all HD. Young man's very creative, so check that out, jetkaiser.com. What do you have for us tonight on the Wild World News, Doctor?
Well, before I start the news, I'd just like to say I wish I could fly like Superman.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I'm pretty excited tonight about our guest, so let's get on with the news and let's try to get this thing going.
Absolutely, right.
All right, let's head off to Portland, Oregon. Three California condors hatched and raised at the Oregon Zoo have been released into the wild in Arizona and California, with two more to follow. Zoo officials said the birds can help clean up the environment as scavengers and are part of the nation's cultural and historical heritage.
Very exciting. Al Jardine of the Beach Boys involved with the California condor preservation.
That's right.
He's going to be on in a few weeks.
That's going to be a good show, too.
Yes, it will be.
All right, Sarasota, Florida. A trained chimpanzee named Ricky will sign copies of John Stewart's book, Earth, A Visitor's Guide to the Human Race, on November 24th at the Big Cat Habitat and Gulf Coast Sanctuary, where the chimp lives. Ricky is shown on the book cover sitting next to Stewart, mimicking the popular Daily Show host. Ricky participates in educational programs there at the sanctuary, and he's going to be signing books.
I'd like one of those books.
I would, too, I believe.
Okay.
All right, let's run off to Trenton, New Jersey. Now, here's some news we've been reporting about all summer long. The catastrophic drop in the little brown bat population is continuing, with the numbers down 50% from last summer and 80% from 2008, according to the state's annual summer bat count. Now, the declines are due to a fungus called the white nose syndrome, and state officials estimated an overall 90% decline in the hibernating bat population.
That's too bad. Bats are very important to our ecosystem.
They are very important.
Yes.
That is really bad news.
That is.
Well, let's hope for the best for those little guys.
Yes, sir.
Because we need them. We need them badly.
Mm-hmm.
Apple Valley, Minnesota. Facebook fans of the Minnesota Zoo will make the final decision on the name for the zoo's new dolphin calf. The public submitted more than 3,000 names online for the dolphin. The staff narrowed the choices down to three. Listen to these names.
Okay.
Kaisha.
Oh.
Ma Ray.
Oh.
And Celie.
It's a girl.
Now, the contest, well, they're not sure yet. The contest runs through Sunday, and the winners will be announced Monday. Now, those are pretty bizarre names for a dolphin. Now, I was thinking a name like Larry, Henry, or how about Dave the Dolphin?
Hey, you were reading my mind. Let's set up a petition tonight.
Well, let's get those names in there.
That's right.
All right, one of your favorite places in the United States, Colorado.
You bet.
Snowmass Village, Colorado, the skull of an Ice Age bison, twice the size of a modern-day bison, is the latest discovery there. And now scientists uncovered the 250-pound bison skull on Saturday. The Denver Museum of Nature and Science will be overseeing the excavation. That said, both horns, which were repositioned with the skull, had a span of more than 6 feet.
Wow. What an animal.
What an animal. That's pretty incredible.
That's incredible.
All right. Well, how about let's run off to Raton, New Mexico. State officials want to know who illegally stocked a lake with northern pike. The predators can endanger prime trout and salmon fishing at Eagle Nest Lake, east of Taos, if they become established. The lake is stocked with thousands of fish every year.
That's a no-no. Shouldn't do that.
Shouldn't do that. That's right. You just
absolutely
can't.
Okay.
All right. We're moving right along here tonight. We're doing pretty good, I think.
Yes, we are.
Hartford, Connecticut. Friends of Animals has lost a fight to stop a power company from killing monk parrots that nest on utility poles there. The state court ruled that the parakeets are causing hazards by nesting on the power lines, and they aren't protected by the state regulations that apply to wild birds. Now, the United Illuminating says that the nests cause power outages and occasionally fires. Now, you're familiar with the monk parrot. Where do they come from? They're not native to the United States.
No, they're not. They're, I think they're South Central America. And
Central America?
I believe so. You caught me off guard, Doctor, tonight. And, yes. And they have, well, there's been so many instances of non-native animals released and done well and create problems later. So it's another example of why we shouldn't do that.
That's right. When I lived in Tampa, the budgies, the Australian parakeets, a few had gotten loose there and moved into Lowry Park, which is now one of the best zoos in the United States. But there were so many parakeets nesting there that if you went to picnic, you couldn't even talk to the person next to you because they were so loud.
Yeah, well, I can hear that. Absolutely.
All right, let's head off to Ellendale, Delaware. State and federal investigators are looking for leads in the poisoning of two bald eagles. Investigators found one dead and one near death at a farm last month. The surviving eagle was treated and released last week. And this is something you don't want to mess around with. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services are offering rewards up to $3,500, and the Fish and Wildlife is offering rewards up to $1,000.
Well, that's outstanding. I think that's great, and hopefully they'll find the culprits that were behind that. We'd like to thank Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News, presented by, underwritten by Jet Kaiser Films. Thank you, Doctor.
Oh, you're welcome. One more thing tonight. Come dancing. It's only natural.
That's right. Larry Batson's Wild World is made possible by our underwriters such as Jerry Jones and Tire Service Plus in Indianapolis, Indiana. Here's their phone number. They keep the animal truck on the road, 317-243-0700. God bless them. Scobie Custom Meats, they help feeder tigers. Here's that number, 765-653-7119. Of course, We Want You Cottages at wewantyou.com. At Chautauqua Lake, way up in New York, and there's an exciting new website, iKids Fishing, where youngsters can submit their picture of that big whopper they caught over the summer compared to young anglers all across North America. That phone number is 716-789-3383. Also, McGregor Mountain Lodge in Estes Park, Colorado, God's country, right on the border of Rocky Mountain National Park. Here's that website, info@mcgregormountainlodge.com. Also, Harrison College, they've got a fantastic veterinary and technician school, www.harrison.edu. That number is 1-888-544-4422. And, of course, Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina, Lake Marion, Lake Moultrie, the Santee Cooper Lakes. Fantastic fishing, everybody. Here's that website, www.santeecoopercountry.org. Or call the girls. They'll arrange your whole trip, 1-800-227-8510. Honorary underwriters tonight, and God bless him, DaveDavies.com, exciting website and also his brand new project, which we're going to be talking with him about, the ashirproject.com. They are honorary underwriters. And also a big special thank you to make this connection to London, England tonight for this very special broadcast, never done before on our show. Big thanks to RadioMom.fm. Also the Radio Mom Shop, where you can save 70, 80, 90% on merchandise and services at RadioMom.fm. Those are our underwriters. They make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
The sound of the British invasion of the 60s began with the guitar intro to a song entitled You Really Got Me. Along with his brother Ray, Dave Davies was the horse behind the Kinks. The Beatles and the Rolling Stones, they tapped you on the shoulder. The Kinks, they hit you right in the mouth. We're very privileged to have this week on our show Larry Batson's Wild World, lead guitar player for one of the greatest bands of the 60s, Dave Davies of the Kinks from England. Good evening, Dave. Nice to talk to you.
Hiya, Larry. Good to speak to you.
Well, it's fantastic. You don't know what an honor this is. I've been a fan forever.
And yeah, it's because we became friends on Facebook, and we just hooked up, and I'm interested in your website and what work you do and what your interests are.
Well, I'm into wild animals and the environment. In fact, we tour with animals. I imagine that's sort of similar when you guys toured in the 60s with some of the other bands.
It's fascinating.
Does it seem like forever when you guys first broke onto the scene with the Kinks, with You Really Got Me and some of the great hits that you had?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Another life. Yeah, it does. In some ways, it seems like it's somebody else. It's so long ago, but when you hear the music again, or played music, it's like it was yesterday. So, you know.
It was just fantastic. I mean, I can still remember Dick Clark introducing the Kinks, and he really got me on his show on American Bandstand. And those opening guitar riffs of You Really Got Me, I mean, they did. They basically hit you right in the mouth.
Yeah, it's pretty different stuff then. It's really alternative music, I guess.
Absolutely. There's a story behind when you created that sound. Would you mind telling my listeners around the world how that all happened with the Ray or with?
Well,
the...
yeah. I guess I was about 14 years old in my mum's front room, and all the amplifiers that we had in those days were just really very clean sounding and chingy sort of sounds, like with a volume and a tone control. So I was really quite fed up with the sound. So I bought this really small amplifier. It was called an El Pico in a store near us. And I got a razor blade and I slashed the cone all the way round in like vertical kind of slits all the way round. So the cone was actually still joined to the frame, but it had all slits all the way round. And I didn't really think it would work, so then I plugged it in, plugged the guitar in, and then it made that wonderful raunchy, rasping sound. So I, you know, perfected it a bit more and joined it up with a bigger amplifier. And that's how the sound was born. And it was, people thought it was outrageous, you know.
It was. I mean, there was nothing like it.
But when the record You Really Got Me came out, and it became a hit. Everybody was saying what a great sound it was. But before, they thought it was some crazy kid making a noise.
Well, it's when you wrote the song with your brother, did you have an idea what you wanted the guitar to sound like? I mean, I mean, it's so wild.
Well, no, it's like I had the guitar sound before you really got me, before the song, and I was using that sound and lots of other like R&B things. But when we came up with that riff, it seemed to sit really well with the guitar sound. So it was like it really came alive for that track.
It was fantastic. What was the do you remember what the first tour of America was like? And I know the bands of the 60s, there's monitors and all that sound equipment that, of course, they use nowadays. It seems so primitive.
Oh, it was very, very basic. And, like, you can hardly hear yourself play because of all the screaming the first tour we did. But we went all over. We went to Denver and Detroit and, of course, New York and L.A. And it was a really big thrill for me as a young boy, really. I was still a boy. And it was a big thrill because USA was where all my heroes came from, like Eddie Cochran and Jerry Lee Lewis and all the great blues players and Muddy Waters and especially Chuck Berry, who was probably one of the biggest influences on my generation of musicians, I think. Guitar players, anyway.
I really...
So it's a wonderful opportunity.
I've always thought that maybe artists like Chuck Berry were actually bigger in England than they were in the States.
They probably were. I mean, Eddie Cochran and Chuck Berry were, like, huge in Europe. And, like, Eddie toured here quite a lot. And, all his records were really big. But I gather he wasn't that big in the States.
No.
He was my hero.
I think that a lot of the British bands, such as the Kinks, the Rolling Stones, they more or less, I think, educated the young music lovers of the United States on some of these artists that essentially here were undiscovered.
Well, yeah, because at that time when we were breaking through with, you know, us and the Animals and Stones and Beatles and such and Hollies, when we were starting to break through, the American... AM or over the radio over there was still very pop sounding, you know, sort of light pop music. So there wasn't really any gritty kind of R&B type straight rock guitar bound music on the radio in America. So I think the States were a little bit behind in the you know, young people's bias in those days. And that, 64, 5, 6.
You know, Dave, I think that still it continues today because there's so many bands that are big in England, that are big in Europe, that these young people have never even heard of before, and then 6 months later they'll break into the States.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Larry, I lost you towards the end of that.
Well, I think that the English, they discover a lot of these bands even before the youngsters in the States do.
Yeah, of course they did, yeah. I remember me and Pete, our first bass player, we were at school together, and we used to go to a shop in London. It was called Dobell's, and it was a jazz record store. And they used to have a little corner of Blue Note and Jerry Mulligan and blues and John Lee Hooker and Sleepy John Estes. So we used to find a lot of our blues records tucked away in this little store. It was great.
Did you visit the American record stores when you guys toured the United States?
We didn't really have a lot of time when we came over here for the first time. It was all very much, you know, cut and thrust in one city one night and the next, and flying here, flying there, trying to do everything in as short a space of time as possible.
And I imagine budget was a big concern at that time monies for touring because you guys are just basically starting.
I'm sorry, Larry.
That the first tours, that the budget was such a concern of doing so many shows so quickly.
Oh, yeah, and they were in Greyhound buses. They weren't luxury touring buses that, like you have now. They were just thrown on a Greyhound bus, and that was it.
I bet.
Fun. I remember that first tour as being fun, but it's pretty crazy.
What were some of the crazier moments that you can talk about that would be suitable for our audience?
Oh, God, I can't remember. I mean, we used to get, like, in Detroit and Reno and all the cities, we had, like, police escorts from the airport to the hotel and, you know, it's all pretty high-profile stuff. And, of course, that would be a young man, it was like, you know, quite amazing, very exciting.
What were your first impressions of the United States when you were here?
Well, the first thing I noticed, I think, was how old-fashioned America seemed, because all the music, I expected it, the radio and the fashion, to be like Europe, but it seemed like about 4 or 5 years out of date. And I thought, well, where are all these great musicians? These, you know, I've been listening to people like James Burton play guitar, but no one knew who he was. My first impressions were that the Americans, the Yanks, were a bit old-fashioned. But they soon caught up.
That's funny, and you're absolutely right, and I think that continues today.
Especially the fashions, because they just seemed, they were still kind of 50s-ish in the States, but, you know, it was a wonderful experience. Wish I could remember more about it.
Who put the look of the Kinks together? Was that your brother and yourself, or did you have...
Well, me and Pete, the original Kinks bass player, were the... we were like the fashion... Pete actually was older than me and actually had a job doing graphic design at a magazine in town, in London, in the West End. So we used to meet and we used to go hunting for weird and unusual and odd clothes. And we came across kinky leather, it was like PVC jackets and tweed jackets and all these outrageous clothes. So we were very much into the fashion as well as the music.
Were you disappointed? I know that, of course, the Beatles and Ed Sullivan and the Stones and Ed Sullivan, just because of the name, you were not permitted to be on the show. Was that a disappointment to the Kinks?
Yeah, well, you know, we got the name really based from a popular usage of the word in England. There was a political scandal that year when we broke onto the scene, and they had words like kinky sex in newspapers and kinky clothes and kinky politicians, and the name sort of, because of the outrageous clothes and leather, I used to wear thigh-length leather boots and a sword and stuff, and like musketeers. So it was already quite outrageous walking down the King's Road dressed up like a musketeer, long hair. And so the name kind of stuck. But it was obviously had a lot of sexual... I mean, even now, if you Google kink on the internet, you're going to get all kinds of things turned up.
Not necessarily.
I think at one time, we were trying to get hold of kinks.com,
mm-hmm.
and it was owned by some sex shop or something. So, you know.
That's, now the early television shows, such as Hullabaloo and Shindig and all that, how were those put together?
Well, they were very professionally done. I mean, I loved Hullabaloo. And, of course, I especially loved Shindig because I got to meet some of these great backroom musicians like James Burton and Scotty Moore and all these fabulous musicians. So I'm up on Shindig and I had a band called the Shindogs, which consisted of two or three of the best session guys in L.A. that would have played on Rick Nelson records and Elvis's and all sorts of records. And because we weren't in the union, we had to use the TV's band, Shindogs. And it was great singing in front of these people who were my heroes. So that was quite a special thing.
Oh, I bet. Was it intimidating in any way?
No, it was all such fun and so exciting. It wasn't at all. And I think when you're young and you're a bit, you know, what's the word, sort of...
Cocky?
Yeah, I was a cocky kid. You know.
Didn't you have to think at every moment that you guys were the best band in the world?
I'm sorry?
Didn't you always have to think, wouldn't your psyche be that we
are... We always thought we were good, you know. We thought even, you know, I think that's the fabulous thing about a band or group is that, you know, that unity is like you against the world sort of unity. Like we're together and, we're, you know, it's a sort of fight for survival. So there is that, you know, it's like a soccer team or, you know, a baseball team. You know, you get that unity of camaraderie and the team. It's the same sort of thing with sports.
Well, I know that the Rolling Stones and the Beatles had a communication on when they were going to release new records, so they were really never competitive against one another. Did you have that affiliation, or did you do that with other bands as well? Or?
Yeah, I didn't really hear all of that, Larry.
Did you work with other bands on when you were going to release your singles, like the Beatles?
Not at all, no. It was like that first 3 years, especially, 3 or 4 years, was just like, it was really a singles-orientated thing because the album concepts didn't really come into the late 60s, 70s really. So you always had to, like, a single would come out and then a month passed, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and then, like, come on, guys, get in the studio and make another single. So it's just like a bit of a factory thing, really. So it was quite constant.
When you'd go into the recording studio, I know that John Lennon said a lot after the fact that he was never satisfied with the recordings because they were done so quickly.
Oh, yeah, we had, like, you know, there used to be, like, people queuing up to get in the studio. I mean, our first album, we had to make it in about 5 days. Because
wow.
They didn't have the time. And then I thought, you know, you go in the studio and you just make a record and then you leave. Not like later in the 70s and 80s, it became more like the artist had much more say over the production and the time we spent on arrangement. And that. But when we first went in the studio, it was... like crash bang, wallop, do it and get out. Next, you know, so it was. But in a way, there was something good about the fact of getting the sound and doing it very quickly. I think it kept the spontaneity in the music.
Did the any of these songs, did you not really hear a playback until on the radio?
Oh, no, no. We had, they had acetates. But it was never the same. It was always a really special moment. I remember the first time I ever heard You Really Got Me on the radio in England. I sort of, it really caught me by surprise. It was like listening to somebody else. And it took a while for me to realize, is that actually me playing? Is that our thing right here? So it was, took quite a while.
Well, I can remember when that record first hit, and it exploded. I mean, there was no sound like that. None. And
it's quite different.
And that's all.
Turns a few heads.
I bet over the years, who do you remember that have walked up to you, artists, guitarists, that have said, hey, you really inspired me to play the guitar?
Yeah, quite a lot, really. I mean, Pete Townsend was obviously a big fan of the Kinks. They kind of followed in our footsteps in, a bit in the beginning, and Brian May was a big fan of my guitar sound, and U2, and there's a lot of bands over the years have shown, you know, have nodded, a little nod of respect in our direction.
That has to be very gratifying.
Yeah, of course it is, but it's like, you know, for me, if I was to have been able to meet Eddie Cochran, that would have, like, it would have been sensational. The thought, you know, if Eddie Cochran was alive and had a website, I'd be on it all the time. if Eddie was on my Facebook, I'd think, oh man.
Oh well, that's the way I felt when I discovered you on Facebook. I mean, I can't believe it.
I'm sorry, Larry.
That's exactly the way I felt when I saw your page on Facebook.
Oh, cool, man. That's cool.
Oh, absolutely. I thought, well, first of all, I thought it can't be really Dave Davies. And
no, but I like all the internet stuff. I really like it. I think it's a great facility for people, you know, hooking up and communicating. You know, and it bypasses all the usual channels. Like years ago, it'd take a 6 months to a year for anybody to hear your music. Time it goes to the record company, and then they slot in their time, and it involves so many people. But now, it's like with this new project. The Share project that I'm working on, we finished it, recording it about 2 weeks ago, and we'll have CDs and downloads ready by next week. So in the space of 3 weeks, we've managed to turn it around, and now we're even able to, you know, you could never do that in the old days. It takes sometimes a year before people could even get to hear an album when you made it. So I love it. It's a great time. And YouTube and all that, it's fantastic.
It's pretty much, if you want it, you can take the record company completely out of the equation.
I think more so, it's becoming more and more like that. Because they seem to have, you know, the big companies, obviously there are still big record companies out there, but they're fewer. And the really big companies have eaten up all the small ones. So, but it's the process that takes so long, because you have to deal with so many different people. And you know, I'm still talking to a record company, a big record company, Universal, about getting a release for this new project, the Share project. And in the meantime, we've already can put it out next week on our own labels.
Well, I've...
It takes ages.
Oh, absolutely. I had the opportunity this morning to listen to some of the tracks that you had sent to us. It's absolutely fantastic.
Oh, cool. I'm glad you like it. It's an idea born from working with my son, Russ.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so excited about it. And it's getting quite a lot of high profile on, you know, the internet and all the different platforms there are. So we're very excited about promoting it and working on it. And it's actually, with the CD, you actually get an outline of the story, because the Asher project was originally a manuscript that we wrote based on a stage musical. So we wanted to do it as a stage musical.
Mm-hmm.
But then we thought we'll get the music out and then we'll just take it step by step. So it's really a work in progress, although all the tracks are, you know, tracks in their own right. It's still a part of a broader concept, which we're still hoping. I mean, it'd make a great movie, I think.
There's...
It'd make a great computer game, Xbox thing, you know?
Absolutely.
I'm really excited. And you must make sure you give me a mailing address, because we'll have hard copy the end of next week, so I can get something to you.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Would you sign it too, Dave?
Yeah, I would. If you make sure you email me the details, I'll get one to you.
Oh, man, I would treasure that. That's absolutely fantastic. Well, the music's great. What was it like? What was it like working with your son? Is this the first time?
It was a joy. It really was. It was like, I can't explain it. It's just total joy.
Whose idea?
Writing new ideas and made me feel like a kid. Fabulous.
How did it all come together? Whose idea was to work on this project?
Russell's about 30, I guess. And he just called me and said, do you want to get together and just put some music together? Because we made a CD about 12 years ago. And we thought we'd try again. And he sent me some ideas, bits of backing tracks and some musical ideas. And was playing it in the car. I had to stop the car, and I thought, this stuff's so visual. And I started writing down notes for characters, and then together we involved this theme story. And we thought, I can see this as a stage musical. You know, futuristic, science fiction, fact, spiritual, new age, kind of, across so many areas. We thought this could be a great stage musical, or a ballet, like a rock new age ballet. So it has a lot of potential, I think. But the outline for the story is in with the CD, so you'll get to read through the story and get a flavor of the thing with the music.
I absolutely cannot wait, and I know my listeners around the world, this is very exciting, very, very exciting.
So hopefully will you get to play any of the samples we sent?
Yes, we are. We're going to play the samples after our interview.
It's fabulous.
I want to make sure that
Can we link to it? Can you send me all the relevant links and stuff?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, we'll...
cool, man. Exciting.
In fact, we have honorary underwriters. You see, our program is sponsored by various companies and here in the States, but I want to tell everyone tonight our honorary underwriter is DaveDavies.com, and you'll be able to receive all the information in regard to this new season.
Oh, and the ShareProject.com as well would be good.
Oh, well, absolutely, it's done.
If you could promote that website, that would be really great.
Well, we absolutely will. I mean, for you to take your time and be a part of our program, world statue.
And I'll investigate your website and check out your wildlife. No, but I'm, you know, I've been staying in the country in England,
mm-hmm.
and we have stags, you know, stags?
Yes.
And they're really mystical, beautiful animals. And, like, you can go into the moors and see these incredible animals. And for some weird reason, people still hunt them.
I know.
It should be illegal. I think it is illegal.
Well, here was my life yesterday, Dave. As I'm thinking about this interview today, we're getting ready to go into winter here, and
yeah.
I have 13 alligators. You're familiar with the alligators?
Oh yeah.
That
yeah, I've seen only in the Florida Zoo.
Right. Well, believe it or not, people in the States have actually bought or caught baby alligators, and they take them home, and they raise them until they're so big that they no longer can care for them properly.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So they'll call the zoo thinking that the zoo would want their alligator. The zoo does not. So they'll release them in rivers or lakes here in the States.
Oh, my God.
Yes, and I'll get a phone call, and it will say, hey, we've just spotted an alligator in a river or lake.
So whereabouts are you?
We're an hour west of Indianapolis. I'm sure you guys played Indianapolis a ton.
Oh, yeah. I love Indianapolis.
It's a fantastic city. And so now I have 13 alligators that I've rescued from rivers and lakes here in my state. So
well,
last
you personally,
yes,
hands-on rescued them.
Right, right.
Oh, Larry, that's too cool. You'd have to send me a picture of you with an alligator.
Well, I will. In fact, there's several on the website. But yesterday, I had my wife and I. Now, my wife, Cheryl, Dave, is about, 4'6". Little bitty gal, but I'm telling you, we call her the bipedal wolverine. She's tough as nails. So we had to move all the alligators inside because winter weather's coming. And what an adventure that always is.
Wow.
You grab a gator by the tail, you drag him into the building, and you go get another one.
Yeah, I don't think I'm quite ready for that, Larry.
Oh, no. We would have you doing that, Dave. That wouldn't be a problem. And also the six tigers that we support.
Oh, I love cats.
Oh, they're fantastic.
Oh, man.
Well, if you ever need musical inspiration, the Wild World is a great place to go because...
Wow.
Have you ever been out west, Colorado? And
yeah.
Well, I've always told people that when you go to the mountains, you're meeting with God, and you realize at that moment that you're a little speck of nothing.
Wow, yeah, amazing.
Very inspirational.
But, like, the West is an incredible country. It looks like a different planet, especially coming from Europe, when all the countries are small and joined together, and the terrain is very different.
Yes,
we have, like, moorlands, which are very desolate, and we have, like, the highlands in Scotland, which are very mountainous. And so we have a bit of that, but you have some amazing areas in the States.
Now, one of my interests, Dave, are snakes. Not a lot of snakes in England, is there?
Not big ones. There are snakes, but they're more... And I don't know a lot about it, but they're really... smaller, and they're not like pythons.
Right. Well, that's another instance where they've released the pythons in the Everglades, and they've basically taken over.
You kidding?
No, no. In fact, there was a hurricane that went through that area, Hurricane Andrew, and I'm thinking that was in the early 90s, and thousands of pet snakes were released, and they've thrived.
Why were they released? To propagate or just...
Well, when the hurricanes took down all these buildings and so forth that were filled with these animals, they became part of the glades, so it was pretty phenomenal. So now they've got
incredible. I'm obviously going to have to do some research, search, Larry.
Well, I'm going to keep you abreast, Dave. In fact... you know, you can go to our website and listen to this program once it's aired, but also programs from the past. Do you remember Bart the Bear?
Yeah.
From the movie The Edge with Anthony Hopkins?
Yeah.
Well, Doug...
I'll have to check the website out.
Yeah, Doug Seuss was just on last week or 2 weeks ago, the trainer of Bart the Bear. And, man, what a great individual. And And
amazing.
They're raising money to buy land to keep it wild for animals like grizzly bears and wolves and things.
Wow.
I love a man. I love a person that's into the outdoors, and you've just been fantastic. I mean,
like it here, the moors, they're so desolate, and the deer and the stags are phenomenal creatures. They're so beautiful and mystical, you know, real amazing animals to observe, and you can't really go that close to them, but they're incredible and inspiring creatures.
Absolutely. Well, you have an invite to my compound if you ever get to the States, and
well, that sounds amazing.
I'll introduce you to a tiger or two. Speaking of tigers, do you ever talk to your brother?
So gorgeous. I love tigers.
Speaking of tigers, do you ever talk to your brother Ray?
You know, they say you can't put. Is that true? You can't put two male tigers in the same.
Well, that is true. They tend not to get along.
Let's see.
Is that
it's probably like two male tigers in our family.
Has Ray heard any of the new music yet?
No, not yet. Well, nobody's really heard it.
Except me?
Only a few special people like yourself, Larry.
Oh, I feel
like... Because I only literally had it finished 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
So we're really turning it around quick. There's an awful lot of interest in it.
What?
People like me. There's a lot of music out there, but it's something a little bit different because it's spoken word. It's like acted, and there's regular song type lyrics. And
mm-hmm.
It's really quite a journey and an adventure. It's a science fiction adventure, really. Set to music.
Well, I'll tell you what.
We'd like to take the Ashir project. It's called the actual CD is called Two Worlds. It involves it's a love story of two people that are in totally different parts of the universe, and how they communicate. And yeah, I think you'll find it quite a trip.
Well, I know I will, and we want to share some of that music with our audience. You know,
when I start on the treatment for the film, I'm going to include some weird and wonderful wild animals to go in the story.
Oh, wow. That would be fantastic.
You just triggered another element to go in there.
Well, if I can be of any help, I'm there. I mean, if you need any... expertise as far as wild animals or ideas.
Oh, cool. I'll bear that in mind, Larry.
I'll be more than happy to. Boy, that would be... It's been a thrill, you know...
Even like a tiger character that speaks or something. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud.
Well, that's true. And you know that the bear, many people consider the bear just as intelligent as the great apes. Except they don't have the facial expressions. They say everything through their eyes.
Well, animals talk, don't they? They really do talk.
Yes, they do. Well, we want to play a couple tracks that you've sent to us from Two Worlds.
Versions, but you know, when we get further on, you'll be able to play, I hope, the full-length versions.
Oh, that'd
when
be
you get the CD and stuff.
That would be fantastic. You know, Dave, they say never meet your musical heroes because you'll be disappointed. That did not happen tonight. I would have to say you are one of the kindest, nicest men I've ever had.
Oh, no, don't you make me blush.
Oh, absolutely. What a great spirit you have, and I really hope all the great success of this music. I know once it takes off, that the American youth, well, all ages. I mean, I'm an older fella, almost 60. We'll all love it, and it's absolutely phenomenal.
You sound young to me.
Well,
I think the animals keep you young.
They do. It's almost like playing rock and roll.
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely. Dave, I appreciate your time so much.
You've been very gracious, Larry. You know, we'll stay in touch.
I intend on doing that. You might even get a phone call every once in a while just to see what the hay's going on.
Yeah.
And Dave,
give me all the links somewhere I can pick up the show and your website and
I'll send it all to you.
Keep in touch.
Today. I'll send it all today. It's been a great pleasure. We'd like to thank Dave Davies of the Phenomenal 60 Groups, the Kinks, for being our guest. I'm going to be on Cloud 9 for a while, Dave.
Blog Talk Radio. This is Larry Batson. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World, our connection with London, England. Had a little disruption, but what a thrill to have Dave Davies on the program tonight and his exciting new album, Two Worlds from the Ashir Project. It's an absolutely fantastic album and what we're going to do for our listeners. In the next couple of shows, we're going to feature some full tracks from the album because it's absolutely fantastic. In fact, I had talked to Dr. Day. Dr. Day, are you there?
Yes, sir.
We kind of decided that after we'd heard the tracks that it was kind of like the Kinks meet Pink Floyd.
Exactly. I couldn't believe how beautiful it was, how beautiful the music was.
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic. I mean,
and like Dave says, it tells a story.
It does tell a story, and it's and I was so honored that for him to say that he was going to come up with some mystical, fantastic wild animals as a part of the film treatment. And I've told him all along that if he needs any assistance with that whatsoever, as far as my limited expertise of wild animals, I'd be more than happy to help. What an honor it was to talk to him.
Yeah, that was a great show.
Fantastic. We really enjoyed it. You know, there's a lot of people that made it possible for this program to come on tonight. The main person behind it was Mr. Bill Shirk with RadioMom.fm. We recorded the interview because, of course, our program broadcast at 10 o'clock. And in London, that's 3 in the morning, as Dave says. He doesn't do that anymore. So we had to tape that ahead of time. But it was just fantastic. And I'll tell you, the whole bit of cooperation. And what a kind man. I mean, it was so great to talk to him. That was just quite an experience. quite an experience. We would like to thank our underwriters tonight. Of course, our honorary underwriters, DaveDavies.com and TheAsureProject.com. If you order your album before November the 15th, it will be sent to you signed by Dave and Russell, Davies, and they'll be more than happy to do that for you. Also, special thanks to Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina, Lake Marion, Lake Moultrie, known as Santee Cooper Lakes. They'll cover over 171,000 acres and 450 miles of shoreline. They're known for world-class fishing, hold 7 state records and 1 world record. That website is www.santeecoopercountry.org or call them 1-800-227-8510. Also, a big thank you to Jerry Jones and Tire Service Plus. They keep the animal truck on the road. That phone number is 317-243-0700. We thank them so very much for supporting our program. Also, Scobie Custom Meats right here in Greencastle, right on the suburbs of Greencastle. And they feed all of our big cats, 6 tigers they help us out with. And that phone number, oh, and they have fantastic maple syrup, too. Maybe I'll send a can of that to Dave. 765-653-7119. And also, We Want Your Cottages way up in Chautauqua Lake, New York. And the great website, iKids Fishing, and their website is www.wewantyou.com. And McGregor Mount Lodge in scenic and beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. Here's that website, info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. And Harrison College, they've got a fantastic new veterinarian technician program. Their website is www.harrison.edu, and that phone number is 1-888-544-4422. And as we mentioned, rock and roll legend, member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Dave Davies, so kind to join us, and we had an absolutely spectacular time with him. And we're going to keep in touch. In fact, I've invited Dave to be back on the program again when we can play a little more of that album. Of course, the album now has been started sending it out, so I know many of our listeners are had the opportunity to hear the entire thing. I'm waiting for my copy to show up in the mail any day, Doctor. And we'll have to check that out. I can't wait.
We will. Yeah, I'm pretty excited too. From what the little bit that we've heard so far, it's really a special thing.
Yes, it is, and we wish him all the luck in the world with that, because it's a great spirit there, great man, and quite an honor to have him on the show. We want to remind everybody too. Thanks to all our listeners that we've picked up tonight. I know we've got listeners in England and all throughout Europe that are big fans of Dave Davies. It was so great to hear his spoken words. But coming up next week on the program, New York naturalist Joel Thomas is going to be joining us. He has a brand new book out. We'll be discussing that and also the work that he does up in New York. And Thanksgiving night, boy, now this is going to be a special one, Dr. Day. My mom's going to be on. And I'm almost afraid what she might say.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. We could learn a lot more about you.
Well, I don't know. I think that's such a great idea. But anyway, my mom and hopefully some of my siblings will join us, and that'll be Thanksgiving night. Should be a lot of fun. Probably be featuring some stuff from the Asher Project that night as well. As soon as they start talking about things I don't want to discuss, I'll start playing that. Also, Tim O'Connor from Santee Cooper Country. We're going to talk about South Carolina and the wildlife. And this is very exciting. On December the 9th, Beach Boy Al Jardine is going to be a part of the show. He's going to be here for the hour. We're going to talk about his work in, saving the California condor and the coastline, and he's quite the environmentalist, and also his new music that's out. I'm very excited because I know one of the tracks features all the original Beach Boys, and also a track with Neil Young. So that's Al Jardine. And then Bobby Caldwell, the drummer with such great bands as Captain Beyond, Johnny Winter End. He'll be joining us. We'll be talking about the music of the 70s. So we've got lots of naturalists going to be on the program, and also lots of great musicians. But I'll tell you what, tonight's going to be tough to beat because it was such a joy to talk to Dave Davies all the way from London, England, on this little show that we do here every Thursday night at 10 o'clock. Good job on the Wild World News, Henry.
Thank you, as always. And Dave Davies, what a nice guy.
He was a nice guy, very nice guy. Also, we'd like to thank the technical expertise of Melissa Hovey and Wayne Larson. They're behind the controls, manning everything to keep us on the air on this magical network known as Blog Talk Radio. Hey, folks, we'll talk to you next week. I hope you enjoyed the program. Hey, go into our archives. You can listen to all the shows from the past, over a year's worth of shows in the archives of blogtalkradio.com. This is Larry Batson. And you've been listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.